Thanks everybody for tuning in. We got a few things to go over tonight. Obviously, the biggest thing in the news right now, well, the fake news is the Batman Dark Knight Rises movie, the shooting at the movie theater, or the alleged shooting. And we're gonna kind of break down some of that tonight, some of the predictive programming that they really kind of put right in our face to to get this in your mind and get you to accept it when it actually happened. Some of it's pretty blatant, right, Justin? Like maybe the 1986 comic when they got the they actually have a shooter in a Batman comic, a lone gunman with dyed orange hair, walks into a movie theater and starts blazing up innocent people.
Yeah, to be honest, so some of this stuff you can't make it up. I mean, as far as it goes, that's pretty blatant too. There's just an awful lot of stuff that's always involved with this stuff, always involving numbers, always involving crazy things like, like Brian was just saying, the predictive programming from a Batman comic. What's the chance of that? Now, here's the most blatant to me though. It's got to be when they walked in the movie theater, and they're watching the previews, and they actually have a movie in there that has a bunch of people shooting up a movie theater.
Yep.
In the same movie that these people are watching, just insane.
Yep. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable, and there's just a lot of weird coincidence. I'm done with coincidences.
Gangster Squad was the name of the movie that was in the preview.
Yeah, Gangster and I'll throw it in the chat for you guys right now so you can see. If you want to see real quick, just go to start at the 1:59 mark of that clip, and you'll see them come out from the back of the movie theater or the front, whatever you would consider the screen area, and they just come out and start blazing people. And this was played at the theater, allegedly, where the Batman movie was played, where everything went down. This story just seems like a lot of bullcrap to me. And granted, it's only been a few days, so I'm not going to just go out there and tell you straight out, hey, I know this is a fake event, because, honestly, it needs more looking at. But that's the way I'm definitely leaning. I mean, I really am. I really don't think they need to really, and it obviously wasn't what they told us, a lone gunman. So it's either a totally fake media hoax, like most of these things are, or it's actually a false flag event. And I just don't see the need for them to gun down 70 Americans or whatever, and end up killing 12 or 14, whatever the number is, in a movie theater when they can just tell you that they did. It's very lack of video. I've seen one video supposedly coming out of there with a black man with blood on his shirt, and the blood's like bright red. Blood doesn't look like that once it hits the air. It turns like dark maroon, and he didn't even appear to be hurt. I saw several fake witness videos, well, what seemed to be fake witness, and that's always up for interpretation. So that's one of the last things I like to use as evidence is, this person's an actor, because, I mean, how can you really prove it? But if you see the way some of these people are acting, there's one with this woman, and she has her hair done up really high, which is kind of stupid for what she's about to say. You can see her whole head, okay? And she tells you that bullets were whizzing by her so close that they singed her forehead, and you can see her head, and there's not even a mark on it. And I just saw, like, probably three or four other ones that just look like terrible actors. And I saw a really good comment. You guys will appreciate this. Any of you guys that have ever looked into 9/11, a YouTube comment that said under one of the videos, he said, they do this all the time, and something to the effect that we're starting to notice this is even worse than the Holly guy on 9/11.
Yeah, the Harley guy was the guy. For you guys, if you haven't heard any of our previous broadcasts, we played it a few times, but the guy comes out and pretty much tells you that the buildings collapsed because of the structural steel melted, and this, we're talking like 2 hours after the event happened. This guy already knew the whole story. A bystander, not like a general or like a congressman, a president, a regular bystander dressed in a Harley shirt.
Oh, so, yeah, and he tells you the buildings collapsed mostly due to structural failure because the fire was just too intense.
Yeah.
And it melted all the steel. Like, who would even talk like that? Because, guys, remember, that bullshit story they floated us, okay? let's just pretend for a minute that what they told us was true about 9/11, and we're definitely pretending, okay? Let's just pretend it was true. How many first times in the world were there for all these little different parts of the event? You know what I mean? First time ever the buildings can collapse like that. First time ever they lose the black boxes. First time ever this and that. You know what I mean? At some point, you got to wonder why none of these things happened, because it didn't happen.
Well, not that too, but on that day, say you really didn't know what was going on. Say they asked you an hour after it happened. You know, I would think, because the way it came down, regardless of you know, whatever you believe, whatever you think, but you would think by seeing what you saw on TV, or you know, if
it was
supposedly
blown up.
You're gonna say, wow, I'd really like to see what happens after they check the basement for accelerants and check the, you know what I mean? That's something that you're not just going to say that, oh, it happened because, you know, the steel was weakened by the, you know, the same thing that NIST and Popular Mechanics popped out a year later.
Yeah,
this
and it was the only time it's ever happened
yeah.
in the world, supposedly. So this
ever.
Guy not only said, you know, what the experts said later on, that he said a whole new discovery that had never happened in the history of a building, you know what I mean? But I don't want to stay on 9/11 too long. I want to get to the Batman stuff. There's just a lot of weird things about this. Now, you know, this isn't just my opinion right here, and it's not proof of anything. But if you guys think about it, right, if you're in a dark movie theater, first of all, it's already dark. Then this guy supposedly throws a smoke grenade in there, okay? Wouldn't you think that a lot of people would be able to get out of there? I mean, hide behind seats and get out one of the several exits that there is in pretty much every movie theater? I mean, how does he end up shooting 70 people? And, you know, some of the witnesses, listen to what one of the witnesses said. This one I didn't have a video of. I had the clipping of it. I got to try to dig it back up. But he said, okay, the guy threw a gas canister, and then he started firing an AR-15. How the hell does he know what this guy's firing in the dark? I mean, seriously.
And
all that chaos, in a real-life situation where your life's on the line, how do you know what kind of gun? He could have maybe said an assault rifle. That'd be,
right.
You know, more sensible.
And unless you're military, you're not going to know that. And they would have said that after. He would have said, to boost his credentials, he would have said, oh, I'm military and I've heard AR-15, you know, I've heard, you know, similar guns. I know what it sounds. No, the guy was just saying from what he already heard from the news, or from what they had already told him to say, or what, you know, whatever. But yeah, I totally agree. You know, it's as far as it goes too. I mean, you know, here's the thing too. The story of this guy was a grad student, neuroscience, supposedly, had $20,000. Let's say he got deals in this stuff, all right? And a lot of this stuff is supposedly bought on the internet. The rest was bought at a certain store in Denver and another suburb of there. We're talking about, for one, tear gas canisters. I don't know about you, but I don't know if you're able to come by those too easily. Then the ballistics gear. And, you know, yeah, the guns you can get, you know, but as far as the, you know, the ammo, the guns, you know, You mean to tell me nowadays with Homeland Security, you know, with a guy buying this much shit in a 3-month period, that they wouldn't have had him, you know, targeted and marked and no, they had this guy as, you know, totally off their radar, supposedly. You know, it really makes you wonder, too, you know, if it did happen, was this guy just an MK Ultra guy that just went and did it? Or was there maybe just someone they just dropped off, you know, they went and sent a couple of their pros in there, did some shooting, and then dropped this guy off in a car outside afterwards, all drugged up. He still looked drugged up in court today.
I hear what you're saying there, but, you know, just the way everything's gone over the last couple of years, and, I mean, from 7/7 to 9/11 to the Breivik thing, it's like all these things have turned out to be totally fake. So it's almost like,
yeah,
you know, for everybody that's listening, you know, and that's why I'm being a little hesitant and saying I know that it's fake, because I don't know yet. It's still early. I still need to look at more things. But that's what I honestly think off the top of my head.
But either way, I think, you know, we should say both sides. What they're telling us even is funny,
oh, yeah.
though. You know, regardless of if it's... Of
it
if
could
it
be
was...
a false flag. That's the only other option here. It's either a false flag or it's just media fakery again, you know?
Right. Right. Well, that's, you know...
I tend to lean towards it's just another fake event. I know I was listening to Chris Kendall's show earlier. He's a researcher that I respect a lot, and he's done some good work on the SSDI before and things like that. And you know, a lot of these people that were supposedly gunned down, he made a great point. A lot of these people that were supposedly gunned down in the movie theater were, you know, young people, you know, in their 20s or 30s or whatever, some teenagers. And he took a list of all the names, and he tried to look them all up on Facebook. And nowadays, everybody has a Facebook page. You know what I mean? Everybody. And he said he couldn't find any of them. I think he found one of them. And then when it was real suspicious, the one that he found, like the pictures wouldn't open up big so you could see them or something. And I did because I just heard it from him about an hour ago. I did want to verify a little bit before I talked about it on the air. I didn't go through all the names. I did take about five names, copied and pasted them, put them in the Facebook search thing. No results. And not to say that everybody in the world has Facebook, but that's a pretty good, you know, sign that maybe these weren't real people.
I'd say if you're going to the movie theaters and you're out, you know, I'd say 8 out of 10, 9 out of 10 people would have a Facebook, to be honest. Whether they use it or not, regardless, at some point in their life, they sign up for a Facebook account.
Justin, we're gonna take a call. We got Linda calling in right now. I'm gonna add her to the conference real quick. Linda, you're live on the radio with Justin Cook and Brian Stavely. What's on your mind? Linda, you on mute? Linda. We'll give her a few more seconds.
Well, while we're waiting for her, why don't we? I think we got another caller on. Dave,
what's up, Justin? How you doing?
What's up, Dave? How you doing tonight, buddy?
Good, good. You know, I really got to lean towards the false flag attack on this one. The guy was just too well armed. You know, I mean, the estimates that they have between $10,000 and $20,000 worth of equipment, and hard to come by equipment at that. I mean, you're talking SWAT gear, you're talking tear gas. You know, it's, you know, you got to see the writing on the wall. With the UN Small Arms Treaty coming up, they just needed a reason.
No, Dave. Now you're someone that's like you know a lot about guns and like that type of you know, stuff. How much would you estimate the ballistics gear and all that would cost? You know, I mean, you know, a rough figure. And I mean, I know we've seen figures from 20,000 and whatnot. And with this stuff, you think it would be easy to get in Colorado or what? I mean, I know you're in the East Coast over here, but.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, you got to know that there's a black market for that stuff, and you know, anywhere if you want it, I'm sure you can get it.
Well,
but
he supposedly got it all legally online.
Yeah, well,
and from gun stores.
Well, see, I also see that as part of the big false flag. You know, of course, it's online, so therefore we need to regulate all online activity. You know, I see this as a big staged event for multiple reasons.
Yeah, I agree.
We agree too. We all think it's a staged event. It's just a matter of it's the typical false flag where they actually killed the people, you know what I mean? Or if it's, you know, they just said that they did. Either way, it's still kind of like a false flag. We got another caller calling right in. Hold on, I'm going to add them to the call. I think it's Linda. Is this Linda?
It is.
How are you
Sorry,
doing, Linda?
Justin. Fine. So I don't have a mic. I used to have Skype, and I used it a lot. But my microphone broke, and my headset's broke, so I just haven't used it for a long time. But I thought I would call in and listen to your show. Anyway, the show is supposed to be about Aurora, Colorado.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think the whole thing is a total hoax. I don't know what you think. I haven't.
I
seen
do too,
anything
Linda.
To
I think it's a total hoax.
Good. I just want to know how a man who's arrested can change his hair color in jail. Do they allow them to dye their hair in jail?
You know, I thought about that too. That's a good question right there.
Hold on. Why wasn't his hair still red though?
No, it wasn't red. It was
oh,
just a
wasn't.
Normal brown. It was a normal brown color. When first of all, the first picture they showed was a drawing. And it was just a black and white drawing. And you know, those kinds of drawings don't look like anybody. And then the next thing they showed was a picture. It wasn't even a picture. It was a composite of eyes and nose and mouth that they'd take, you know, they'd probably retrieve from a computer and put together. And the next thing, they had this man. I mean, the whole thing was laid out. What woman on the face of the earth would take a 3-month-old baby to a movie at midnight?
And there were a couple of little kids, too. There was another one.
That gave it away right there. That is such a bullshit. And then the next, what family would take a 6-year-old to a midnight movie? When I was a kid, my dad used to take us to the drive-in. I don't even know when they stopped. People stopped going to drive-ins, but we never made it through a movie. We fell asleep, you know, and it got dark like at 8:30, and who knows what time it was when Dad took us and put us in bed. But anyway, my point is, how is it that John Miller, who was Giuliani's press secretary, first of all, John Miller was a WNBC reporter here in New York. That's Channel 4 in the 80s and 90s. And then as soon as Giuliani got elected, he was his press secretary. Now, I don't know what you know about Rudy Giuliani, but the man is total mob. His father spent time in jail for armed robbery, and everyone around him is a mob guy.
He kind of sold out the mob, though. I mean,
bullshit.
I would say he's definitely a Knight of Malta, definitely. But I mean, as far as, you know, like,
oh,
I mean,
yeah. Rudy Giuliani, total mob. First of all, he screwed over his first wife to marry Donna Hanover, and Donna Hanover basically got him elected. She was on-air personality for Channel 9, and everybody loved Donna Hanover, and she married him. And into his mayorship, he got involved with another woman. So Donna and he were divorced. So he's on his third wife now. The point, I know that he took that gold somewhere and buried it. He hid it somewhere. All that gold that was stolen from the basement of the World Trade Center, they're figuring it, I don't know how much, $900 million in 2001 terms. None of it was recovered. And they're trying to say that it was. First of all, I have done since 2007 when I learned, I really didn't ever really think about it before. I just accepted what the government said about planes flew into the building. Because I was working on my own life. I had, you know, things to think about. I didn't stop and think. And then when you actually hear people say the planes hit the building and the fire was so hot, the building collapsed. It's just, you know, after you hear yourself say it, then you think, what kind of crap? Buildings don't just fall down because of fires.
No.
Anyway.
The Jeffy would blow up right away, too. Never mind all this shooting down the elevator shaft shit. You know what I mean? It gets gone on the explosion.
I'm sorry. Yeah. There were no planes.
Oh no, we are in total agreement with that. Don't doubt that for one second. I don't know if you've listened to our 9/11 shows, but our point of view is.
No, I don't actually. I just joined friends hooked me up to your site
goes deeper than the planes. Not only were the planes not real, the buildings that we saw collapsing weren't real, and just about every every photo we saw from that day was fake and done on a computer. And they did the same thing with the Breivik thing. And I have a great video. I'll post it in the chat in a minute. And you can see actual buildings just disappearing out of the shot. It's fucking ridiculous.
When you say you're going to post it in the chat, where is your chat?
On your
Facebook site, the Anti-Illuminati.
That's not even my group. How did you listen
that's
to the, how are you? How did? Oh, you're in Skype, right? Let me send you the link in Skype. Right here.
I got there through Skype.
There's that link right there.
So that's your okay. So where I could type? Yes, I figured out in 203. Oh, you're typing this?
Right above that.
Am I from Connecticut? Okay, I got it. No, I'm from New York City. I worked for ESPN in 2000, and I got this. I moved to Connecticut from Los Angeles, which is where I was living but I've lived in New York since 1981. I moved to New York, and in 1999, I moved to Los Angeles to work there, and I hated it. Although I did live in Los Angeles in the 70s, and I loved it, but it's so different now than it used to be, and it's just a horrible place to live. So I moved back to, I got a job with ESPN, so I moved to Connecticut.
You're in good company. I'm from Connecticut too, and we got a couple Massachusetts guys on the line, so we're all go ahead.
Okay. Anyway, so I quit my job at ESPN, and I ended up moving back to New York. And when I moved back to New York, that's when the World Trade Center that the whole thing happened, and I was so busy trying to find another job, and I didn't even think about any of it until. In 2007, I ended up back working at NBC. I used to work at NBC before I moved to Los Angeles. And we were chatting about, now, what is it they said that happened to the World Trade Center? Because people have lives. We don't sit around and talk about stuff like that because, you know, we have to make money, get to work. You know, you just don't think about that kind of stuff, especially after they shut down all of New York for 3 days, couldn't go anywhere. They shut down the subways. They couldn't even go down to the World Trade Center. The trains wouldn't stop there. When we were finally allowed to go down to the World Trade Center, which was 3 weeks after 9/11, I went down, and all I saw was a pile of junk. There's a lot of dust, a lot everywhere, but there wasn't any like real serious damage to think. There was dust everywhere, and I took pictures when I went there. And all I really saw was a pile of junk and the two pieces of the exoskeleton sticking up out of the pile of stuff. So I actually saw that. And that area was like kind of misty from powdery kind of thing. But you weren't allowed to go that far. You could only just walk on Broadway. You couldn't go to the World Trade Center. So, you can see it from about 100 feet, but that's about as far as you can do. So I went back, and I never really thought about it again. And I didn't think I could care less if, you know, my life was tough. I didn't care if anybody was going to drop bombs on it. But when I went home to Pittsburgh, which is from where I am, outside of Pittsburgh, and I'm an Army veteran, so I've been using the VA as my medical treatment center since like the 1980s. So I went to the VA hospital to get blood pressure medicine. While I was there, I was listening to this woman who had traveled from Shanksville. You know, that's where the plane was supposed to have landed or crashed or whatever.
Yep.
And she told me that people in Shanksville were so scared that Arabs were going to come out of the woods and attack them. I said, what? She said, "Yes." Wow. She said they were. That's how scared
that's how
they were.
Conditioned
they were really,
that's how much fear they put in.
Well, I live in New York. I could care less. You know, that kind of stuff doesn't bother me. But that they were so afraid. And my brother Jim, he was saying, "Well, the Arabs come and they drop a bomb on the train center in Conway, PA. Everybody's what?" I said, "Jim, grow up. Why wouldn't anybody come and drop a bomb in Conway? This area is depressed. No businesses were there. Why wouldn't they come here and do that? Who wants to live here? I don't want to live there." So anyway, it wasn't until someone sent me an email from 100777.com, which had the September Clues videos in it.
Yep.
And I watched them, and I went, "What?" That opened my eyes.
Yeah, me too.
That's
the one documentary that's the only one that's any good that is even close to the truth. And now, I don't know if you remember their website.
An American, that's the worst part. The guy's an Italian that did it.
We had him on the show. I'd like you to listen to it sometime.
You.
Oh, yeah. If you go to our archive page, which is the next page over, I'll give you the link to it. If you listen to that show, we had Simon Shack on for like 3 hours, and he went through the whole thing. And at first, I was about 90% sure about the things he was saying. I was a little skeptical on some things, but now the more and more I looked, he was right all along. The whole thing, computer generated, except for maybe some witness interviews. You know what I mean? But everything of the building that we saw that
day. Those were all recorded too. All those people were hired to do that.
A lot of them were doing green screen interviews and all sorts of shit.
Yes.
I'm just saying the only chance of there being any real videos were if they did a couple of witness videos where they weren't showing the buildings. But everything I see of the buildings is fake. The jumpers is fake. I see jumpers separating from their shadows. You see jumpers jumping like 70 feet out from the building.
Someone else had a question in the chat for the caller. They want to know if you're still in the media.
No, I'm retired. I'm retired, thank God.
What's that?
Are you still there?
Yeah, we're here.
I thought when I called in, I did a Skype thing before where I called in and I could listen to the whole show. I couldn't say anything, but I could type things, and that's what I thought I was doing when I called you. But I don't, I can't come hear the show here. But maybe I can do it. I just don't know how to do it right now.
Well, to hear the show, all you gotta do is click on the link. So when you get off the phone with us, right? Here, I'll give you the link right now. Look in the Skype chat.
Okay. Yeah. Would you type it so I can copy and paste it?
There, right there. That's the direct link to the radio stream.
Oh, great. Thanks.
Okay, so if you click that.
Before I go away, are you aware that Barbara Bush and Ann Capaletti are illegitimate daughters of Aleister Crowley?
Yes, we've heard that.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not 100% sure of it, but I have definitely heard it many times.
Well, be sure. John Capaletti was my college boyfriend, and he and his family are witches. Now, I didn't know that until 1987. I had Malocchio taken away from me, but that's the curse of the evil eye. It's a buckeye. So after this, I mean, I was hysterical. I kept saying, how could people do something like that? Well, she said, John made me live with his mother in 1972. As I told you, I'm retired. I'm 62. So I've been around for a while. Anyway, I went to live there, and she was the meanest. I said, why do you want me to live with her? She hates me. And he said, I just want you to go and live with her. Well, the woman grew up in South, after, Crowley was kicked out, Anne was conceived at Abbey of Bethlehema in Cephalus, Sicily. Crowley was kicked out of Bethlehema by Mussolini. He was deported. He went from he went to France, where his friend Frank Harris took him in. They were all involved in sex magic. Anyway, in Barbara Bush's mother, Pauline Pierce, had hooked up with Nell, Frank Harris's girlfriend, who was living with him, although he was married to another woman. The two of them were cohabitating, and she invited Pauline Pierce to live with her. So she was there, and when Aleister Crowley went to Paris, he stayed with them. Pauline and Mel became Aleister Crowley's sex assistants. First of all, Pauline Pierce was a sixth-degree OTO. You know what OTO is? That's Ordis Templi Orientis. Okay, they're a group of witches. Anyway,
And those are all the ones that follow Aleister Crowley, right? They follow his shit. Aleister Crowley's stuff to a T.
Crowley, go ahead.
Okay, in the 1920s, Crowley was like a rock star. He used to have these sex magic acts on stage, and women just flocked to him. In the 1920s, witchcraft was huge. You have to go back and look at stuff in history to find people were ordering. I think God basically sent the Depression because of how evil people had become. Everybody was going to witches. They were doing seances. I mean, it was pretty bad. So I think that the depression was a punishment for what was going on. So after that, everybody kind of went underground again. Anne's mother was paid, of course, to have sex with Crowley. With that money, she sailed to South Philadelphia, and I don't know if you know this or not, because I'm from Pennsylvania, so I know this. The South Philadelphia has a huge witch population. They're called Strega witches, S-T-R-E-G-A. I'm sorry, Strega witch. That's a Sicilian witch, old school Sicilian witches. And they particular favorite curse to put on anyone is called the evil eye. With it, they
Malocchio,
yes. They take a buckeye and they prepare it with in a ritual. And after they feed it to their victim, they watch the victims through mirrors. It's called scrying. Aleister Crowley's favorite form of divination. Now, the reason I know this is because Anne Joyce and John Cappelletti, all three of them, put four curses on me. The first was Malocchio. The next is licorice root. The curse of licorice root is to have the victim treat his master well. So African slaves did that to their master in the South so that they could work in the house. They didn't have to work out in the field. The next curse was So that was in 1987, I had the Malocchio taken away from me. But still bad things are happening to me. First bad thing that happened to me was in 1974, I was hit by a drunk driver at 10 o'clock in the morning. He died. I was in the hospital for a while. And in 1974, you couldn't sue anybody. The laws were very different then. So fortunately, I got enough money from an insurance policy that I could buy a car. My car was totaled. But it took me, I was under doctor's care for a year. Turns out, Anne paid my sister's mother-in-law, who's another witch, to deliver the curse to me. I was chatting with this guy online yesterday from, he said he's lived in Guadalupe, California. I don't even know where that is. But the reason I saw he was from Long Beach, and I have lived in Long Beach for 2 years before I moved to Los Angeles, and I lived in Los Angeles for 4 years before I moved back to New York. Anyway, he told me that Pittsburgh is like the Illuminati East, and San Diego is Illuminati West. Now, my niece went to University of Pittsburgh, and she became a wizard there. She's a sorcerer. She's been put a curse on me, which is the curse of the decayed molar. And if you go to herb-magic.com, you can see it there. There's a big section on it's something that witches put on people to make them lose their teeth and ruin their life. And my niece, Anne Cappelletti, paid my niece to do that to me. Now, this is 1984. I was the Malocchio. All these bad things are happening to me, and I was praying to God. The first time that happened, I did a novena to St. Jude. He's a patron of hopeless cases. And I found a woman on 72nd Street in New York City. She told me that I told her that I'd gotten involved with this man, and I had given him some money. He told me he needed to help his sister, and I gave him some money. Turns out he was a cocaine addict, and he had spent it all, and I had nothing. So I was hysterical. She told me that he would pay me back a little bit at a time, but things would get better for me. Well, they started to get better for me, then they got worse. So I'm back in New York, and I decided I had to go back to New York because it's the only place I could find someone to help me with these curses. So my first spiritualist told me that people are going to tell me that you're still cursed. And she said, but don't believe them. There's nothing. Well, she lied. And I went and found this other woman in 2007 who's 30 years younger than I. She wasn't even born when this all happened to me. The first thing she took away from me, she told me, someone put a curses on you. And I said, no, I had it taken away. She said, no. She said, I'm telling you. So she told me to get an egg and I carried it around with me for 3 days. Then I took it to her, and she said, oh, by the way, this was like the Wednesday before Good Friday in 2007. I took it to her on Friday, and as we were talking, it was in a clear plastic container because I didn't want it to break, and I had my purse. So it was sitting there, and I could see, like, it's, like, growing. So what it was it was called John the Conqueror Root. The reason I only learned this, because my spiritual student knew what it was called, I found a site on YouTube, rather not on YouTube, I'm sorry, on the internet called luckymojo.com. It's a huge witchcraft site, and they had drawings of these roots, and that was the drawing of John the Conqueror Root. It's not there anymore, but when it was there, when, in 2007, it was there, and I printed it out. And I showed it to my, I said, look, this is exactly what you took away from me. It looked like a piece of fat that was burned on the top. But John the Conqueror Root is a hoodoo root that they use to make, that witches use to make money.
Linda, we got and about probably 60 seconds left because we have another caller on hold that we got to get on to.
Okay, well, go to your caller. It's not that important. I'll go to your show and listen to the rest of it, okay?
Okay, awesome. And thank you for calling in. I really appreciate it. I appreciate that we have a new listener.
Okay.
All right, thanks a lot.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Bye. Take it easy.
All right, guys, you just heard a pretty interesting call from Linda. Dave, you're still here with us?
Yep, still here with you.
All right, we're gonna get back into the Batman thing a little bit. We kind of went off in a little bit of a different direction there. So what exactly is your thought on it? Do you think that it's an actual false flag event and the people were shot, or do you think it's just total bullshit?
No, I gotta go with the false flag. You know, I mean, the lack of video evidence I can understand because it was it happened so fast. It's, you know, people shooting at you, you don't exactly pull out your camera. But I mean, it's an obvious setup. Let's assume that it was a real event. You know, there's too many inconsistencies in the stories coming out. You know, he supposedly came in through a door that only opens toward the outside from the inside.
Couldn't those same facts point towards a fake event also?
Yeah, it could. It could. You know, there's still a lot more facts to come out on this story. You know, I mean, it's still very early.
Oh, very early. That's why nobody can really be sure right now, you know, 100%.
But, yeah, exactly.
It's even going to take a few weeks before we see any of the victims' names in the Social Security Death Index, if they are in fact there. You know, there's a lot of stuff where we're going to have to wait and see. You know, I would just think that, you know, in general, though, I mean, you know, we have... this guy, you know, what do you guys think about the angle of the neuroscience thing? Let's say, you know, let's say, you know, from what we're hearing here, that this event did in fact take place. You know, do you think it's possible that this guy was, you know, kind of zapped at a school type thing, and you know?
Yeah, I think so. If it did take place, I think something like that absolutely did happen to him. I think we're all in agreement that it certainly wasn't the story that portrayed on the news.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. There's too much suspicion surrounding it, too. I mean, you got the judge who seals the case, like, the day after. You know, I mean, they're sealing records. They're already hiding stuff. You know, the lack of transparency is obvious. You know, the moment you see the courts in concert with the police in... covering the stuff up, sealing the records, hiding evidence, you know that it was not what it was portrayed as.
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely true. It's absolutely true. Personally, I'm leaning the other way, but I'm not 100% sure, you know. I'm leaning to it just being a total hoax. I really don't think that this even happened. And I like to be careful when I say things like that because I don't want people to think, oh, this kid just says everything's fake. But, I mean, at some point when all these other events like 7-7, 9-11, the Andres Breivik thing, when all those things turn out to be fake events, you got to really question everything from kind of from that side at first. At least I do now. You know, like, you got to prove to me something happened, and right. I don't see enough proof of this. I mean, I don't know. Well, you never see people on like closed circuit TV when they do these things. You know, so if somebody's shoplifting or whatever, you'll see them on a closed circuit TV. But when somebody's dropping a bomb off in a building, or you know, blowing up a building in New York, or murdering people in the movie theater, you don't have any real video. I mean, you got that one crappy cell phone video that they put out after with the guy that comes out. He's got red. It's supposed to be red blood on his shirt, but it's like bright red. He's not even walking like he's really hurt. And then we got fake witnesses for sure. I mean, these are piss poor actors. I mean, you got one girl that tells you the bullets whizzed by her head and they actually singed her forehead, and you can see her forehead. It doesn't even have a red mark on it or anything. And they're just like so unemotional and almost like a robot reading a script, some of these people, you know? But with anything, you got to be careful, because what if I'm wrong? It is kind of disrespectful to the victims if I'm not sure. So I'm not 100% sure about this. How could I be? It's only been what? How many days has it been, you know? But I think that's where it's going to end up.
That's why I say let's look at it from a direction of what we've been given, and then kind of go on. You know, there is no footage to really go from to say, hey, this is fake. You know, fake. Maybe they'll release something later. There's got to be CCTV from inside the lobby. There's got to be something that they're going to release. You know, some sort of video.
If they'll release it, they might not release it. You know. Mm. I mean, look, they had 84 cameras supposedly on the Pentagon, and they released one of them with 5 frames.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. You know, you would figure that a 747 would be a little bigger, a little easier to target with all those cameras.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You don't see anything. Even on the streets of New York, there's cameras. You don't see any of those in any of the 9/11 footage. All you see is the contrived footage that they made up. It's just
I'll tell you, with the Pentagon, if it wasn't blown up from the inside, which is a lot of evidence to point to that, then it was a missile. There was no way it was an aircraft.
And even with those things on the table, there's actually a chance it could have just been a movie effect, a CGI effect on the Pentagon. I mean, I'm not saying it definitely was, but that's on the table just as well as bombs from the inside or a missile. I don't really think they used any missiles, though. There was really no need for it.
Well, you got to consider every avenue of it.
Oh yeah, you do. And we've spent years looking down all these avenues, and it's just the only evidence maybe for a missile was that one crappy video they tried to release. And you see this little white thing, but. I'm not buying a missile at the Pentagon. I would buy a bomb.
I'll tell you what. Let's get back onto the Dark Knight thing. I mean, here let's. We talked a little bit about the predictive programming and whatnot. I don't know. How do you guys feel about the Lil Wayne video where you have, there's some parts where you see 13 or 14 people, but the version that I saw, there's 12 people. Or 12 skeletons in that movie theater. To me, you know, and obviously we know Lil Wayne is a player. He's one of, he's one of their wannabe initiates or whatever you want to call it. I don't know. What do you guys think about this?
I think there's definitely a lot of predictive programming here. I think there's a lot more in his video too. I don't know if you've seen all the parts, but there's actually direct relations to Batman. He has a woman in a cage with a Batman mask on in the video.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then at the end, you know, like you said, you got the 12 skeletons in the movie theater, and there were a couple other frames that seemed to be cut out of some of the videos where there's actually like 14 or 21 skeletons, but the one that they have in every one at least is a we have another call right now. We're going to add him into the call. Welcome to Dose of Reality Radio. You're live on the air.
Hi, it's Linda again. I'm listening to your show, but I just want to say it was – you people probably don't know this because it's like a relatively new thing. Hold on. I'll have to turn the volume down on my – okay. Okay. It's called virtual graphics. Now, in 1998, I got this job working for a French company called Cymavision. And what they did was take virtual graphics that come from a computer, and they're generated through the camera onto a target. Okay. So anyway, now that's since 1998. Of course, the computer industry has become terrific. In 2007, I took a job at TVI Virtual Media Services, and who was owned by Cablevision in Lawrenceville, New Jersey. It was then that I learned how to map camera shots with 3D graphics. You build a 3D wireframe on a camera shot, and from that you're able to draw lines on a football field, and that's how they do it for football. You're aware that there are yellow lines that are drawn on football fields, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, that was elementary compared to what they're doing now with Sport Vision. Sport Vision bought out TVI in December 2010. Since I worked at TVI, I didn't. And I realized that's how they did it. It was a virtual graphic. You don't need any. That's the only thing that was close to being live on 9/11.
Yeah.
And it was on a 17-second. It was on a 17-second delay. It wasn't even totally live.
Oh, we're not arguing that fact at all. You know, we that's one of the main things I preach to everybody, and I have a hard time with a lot of people.
Oh,
but it was about 6 months ago, 7 months ago, I really started studying the collapse footage over again. And,
okay.
Oh, you know what? We're going to have another call. Linda, we're going to have you call back in a few, okay? Just because the phone lines are ringing.
Okay,
off.
I will.
I
want to
give everybody a chance.
I'll go back to the show.
Stay
okay,
in the
bye.
Chat, and I'll tell you when we're a little free. Welcome to Real New Dose of Reality Radio. You're live on the air with Justin Cook, Brian Stavely.
How you doing, fellas? This is Jeff.
What's up, Jeff? How's it going?
Good. How you doing? Is that Broadlin still on the line?
No, we just let her go to make room for you.
Dude, I was trying to tell you to ask her a question, and I wanted to get on the line with her, dude. That broad's full of shit. Not for nothing. She, I don't know if you want to call it occupational hazard or what I used to do, but I'm pretty good at reading people for what they are and who bullshits it. She just seems like a broad that, you know, is doing research and maybe lives alone with a cat or something. Sounds lonely. And I would highly debate that this chick is in the media. I think, I don't know, man. I don't know what your opinions are or whatever. I'm not trying to sit here and just throw the girl on
black.
You know
what? You know what? If you want to talk to her, we'll give you the. We'll give you the arena to talk to her head up. Linda, call back in.
I think, if you would ask her if she was willing to go on record as a former media member of what she knows about 9/11, I guarantee you she would start backpedaling. Or now that I said it, she probably won't, but I don't know. What's your thoughts on it? Did she seem like she was genuine coming across, or did she just seem like somebody who has a sheltered life and wanted to come across some research and act like she knows what she's saying when she calls in?
I thought, honestly, she seemed like a nice lady, but then she took us a little too far down the witchcraft road. We kind of wanted to focus on Batman. But, she does admit the all the fake video on 9/11, and not too many people
are
doing
that. Absolutely, but here's where I come into play with this, okay? Anybody with any shred of intelligence in their life can sit there and study what you've been putting up and what we've been talking about and call in and act like they're an expert. If somebody's a little higher than intelligent, let's just say, you know, they're above intelligence, they're the normal people in this world.
Right. Anyone that's done the research.
Listen, I don't have enough intelligence. If I believe everything you guys are spitting with bullshit, to where I could do the research and then call in like a fucking expert in 2 weeks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It is possible. I don't know. I want to ask you guys what you think, man. I mean, what do you think? Do you think she was being truthful, or do you think she was just saying anything?
Well, I think it's just this. I think it's the same thing as far as, you know, done the same research that, you know, that we've done.
Yeah, that sounded like a scripted friggin' interview to where, not on your behalf, but like she was reading from a screen, and you know what I mean? If she started going through the call shit, like Justin couldn't debunk anything she was going to say. You know what I mean? He's definitely more on the ball with that than her. I'll bet my last bottom dollar on that.
Hold on, she's calling right now. I'll let you talk to her real quick, but we're going to keep this brief, you know, under 10 minutes, and we really want to get back into the Batman stuff. Okay?
Yeah, seriously.
We're not going to let it get out of control.
No worries. I just got two questions to ask her, and I'll be done with it.
Okay, this is Linda? Hello, Linda?
Like she's got to turn that thing down, dude.
Yeah, it's like our thing's on mute. Linda, you got to put your thing off mute.
Well, she's probably trying to prepare the screen so she knows what to say.
She just dropped out. Hold on, here it is.
Uh-huh, look at that.
It she is. Linda, just turn your radio down in the background. One of our guests had a few problems with what you were saying, and I just wanted to give you guys a few minutes to hash it out, but we're not going to make a whole show about it.
Someone's talking. Somebody's calling
me. This is my only problem, Linda. My only problem being is this. Every time somebody comes forward that's supposed to be next media, when it comes to actually going on record, can I finish talking, please? I will let you have the floor.
I'm listening to two things at the same time. What are you talking about?
How to have a debate. Do you know how to have a debate like an adult? Because I can go put my 11-year-old on the phone if you want.
I can't understand a word you're saying.
All right, give Jeff 60 seconds.
Maybe you will be able to hear me, huh?
Time out. Give Jeff 60 seconds to say what he wants to say, and then we'll give you 60 seconds to rebut it real quick.
Yeah,
go ahead, Jeff.
The listeners want to hear Batman, but go ahead, guys.
Wow, what? Just cut the phone call off. Don't ask her a question. She only want to answer it.
You didn't ask me a question. Ask me speak in English.
Turn your radio down.
In English. You're the one speaking in dumb transfers. Okay, so I'm like a dumb broad and listen to the question I'm asking you.
I can't understand you. Say it to somebody who can say it to me in English. You have a horrible accent. You have a horrible accent.
I can't help but start to have an accent. I don't pretend to be different people. It's not my style.
All right, hey, everybody take a breath.
Somebody ask me a question and I'll answer it.
Exactly. Right. Everybody take a breath. Everybody
stop
talking.
I'll be able to ask you.
Jeff, go ahead. Ask her your question. Everybody's listening.
Okay, here we go. And let's try not to have the cat screeching. What my question is, okay, and I'm speaking English. I don't know what you speak, but my question is, are you willing to go on record as an ex-media member of what you know about 9/11? So if you're willing
Listen, I have cousins who are witches. One of my cousins has been having an affair with John Cappelletti since 2000 to 2007 until I told his wife that the two of them are having sex together in Las Vegas. Now, John, if there were ever a real investigation, they would have learned that the explosives came from the Philadelphia Naval Business Center, where John and Mike Cappelletti's demolition company picked up explosives and drove to New York to plant them in the building. The buildings were gutted, prepped for demolition, and planted with explosives.
Yeah, we know that.
But with no people in the building,
do you have
I'm telling you, you asked me if I was ready to go on record. I am ready to go on record. I have been telling people this for the last 5 years since I learned what happened. You want to know the 11 involved in the 9/11 demolition? Such, Cheney, Tenet, Sorcerer, and Cappelletti. Bill Gates, Giuliani, Schwarzenegger, Silverstein, Soros, and Saddam Hussein.
Yes, thank you for the
history. Hold on,
Hold on, quick question.
I can't understand when two people talk at the same time.
I'm trying to talk. I'm a co-host on the show. Are you trying to say the football player John Cappelletti was involved in the night?
Yes, exactly. His mother put John... wait, let me tell you the story. Michael Cappelletti went to Malvern Prep. And I don't know if you know where Malvern Prep is. It's outside Philadelphia. Anyway, Alan Amici was on the board of trustees at Malvern Prep. Through going to Malvern Prep, Michael met Kathy Amici. Kathy Amici, of course, had him to her home. Michael married Kathy Amici, but in the interim, John went with Mike to the Amici's home. Michael took a picture of John with
Alan Ameche's Heisman Trophy. He won the Heisman Trophy in 1954 from Wisconsin-Madison. They took the picture, gave it to the witch mother. Ann Cappelletti is the daughter of Aleister Crowley. She's a powerful, she was a powerful sorcerer. She did rituals on the picture. That is how he won the Heisman Trophy. She did it. She convinced the Bushes that she was a powerful sorcerer. They used her to get into the White House. That is how the Bushes got into the White House. Now, if you don't believe it, I'm sorry, but that's what happened. Now, Mike is married to Kathy Amici right now. Mike has put curses on Kathy Amici just the way John put curses on me. I had all of mine removed. But I can't say anything for Kathy. It's not my problem. Anyway, you don't have to believe it. Everybody else that I know believes it because everyone knows people all over this country are using witchcraft to get ahead.
Of course, it's the occultism. That's the Illuminati's. That's what they're into.
But not just the Illuminati. It's real people who are doing it. There are covens all over this country. It's not just the Illuminati. The reason the Illuminati is getting so far ahead is because there's so many other people who are working for them.
And they control the media and the propaganda, and they control the flow of information. So it's like they have total control of everything.
You know, okay, Bush had Anne run the groups of paid posters. I don't know if you know this or not, but there are all these people who post this stuff on that. The day of the Aurora, I looked on MSNBC. Four people in Aurora, and I'm like, what? Do you know who John Miller is?
No.
Do you? John Miller was on CBS this morning, on the morning of the, on the very morning, and he was laying out why this guy went into this movie theater and shot me. Now, the story was planned. It was all set up, and they went in, and they just keep saying the same thing over and over. And as if you notice, every day they add a little more. The guy was, this is a drawing of this guy. The next day he has red hair. I mean, it's such bullshit. I mean, I just don't see people can't understand how stupid these people, how, look at what, Obama said he was going to investigate 9/11. That's what he said. That's the only reason I voted for him. Once he was in office, he said, let's just forget about the whole thing and let's move on. You know that he said it. He said he was going to close Guantanamo Bay, a Guantanamo jail. He gets in, he put more money into Gitmo.
Oh, of course. We knew he wasn't going to change anything. They're controlled by the same people behind the scenes.
First of all, I don't think Obama's real name is Obama. I don't think that he was even Obama's son.
No, it's Barry Sotora.
There's a guy, his name is Frank Marshall Davis. Obama mentioned him 25 times in his book. And on top of that, this guy, Frank Marshall Davis, took nude pictures of his mother when she was 18 years old. And if you go, if you look up Frank Marshall Davis on YouTube, you will see nude pictures of Ann Dunham.
Right.
Now,
Dunham was CIA. That was her job, was to get these influential people and to have them, get them to have sex with her and whatever. And that's how she got Lolo Sotoro. That's how she got Obama's supposed father and Davis, etc. Go ahead, continue.
Well, I heard that Obama didn't even know that Ann Dunham was pregnant until he got back to Kenya and she wrote to him. So she wasn't even pregnant when he was still in Hawaii.
Right.
So the point is, this is such, we are so stupid to let these people walk over us the way they are. And when the bank, so let's get back to Aurora.
Right. We got about 2 minutes, then we have to hit the break.
Okay, Well, I have posted all that I know about, that I have looked into, and it just, the story just keeps growing every day, and if we're letting this happen to us, that's our own fault. That's all I'm saying. That's what I don't care. I would, listen, I would love, the reason I heard that Ann Capaletti put these curses on me was she looked into her scrying mirrors when she was, when I got involved with John in 1971, and she saw that I was going to write a book about the Capalettis, and she's been trying to kill me or stop me ever since. She tried to kill me in that car crash, but that didn't happen. I mean, I'm just too strong for it to happen. And besides that, Jesus loves me. I know that God loves me, and I'm supposed to write this book because it's my destiny. I mean, this, the will of God, not my destiny. I have to expose these people and get them. They should be in jail, every single one of them. Bush, through all of them, they should all be in jail. And the fact that we're going to be paying Bush's retirement should just piss everybody off. That's all
I have to say. Of course. Bush, Kissinger, all of them. Brzezinski.
All of them, right.
Well, how about people don't even realize we give about $3 billion a year directly to fund the Israeli army and their actions out of our tax dollars. I mean, there's just so much bullshit that goes on. But you know what? We're going to have to hit the break now. And when we come back
I'm listening to your show. Okay,
when we come back from the break, we're going to get back into the Batman thing. All right? Guys, we're going to take a quick 4-minute break. What we're going to do now is I'm going to play the Lil Wayne video that everybody's talking about that has the predictive programming for the Batman event, and it has a ton, an absolute ton of Illuminati symbolism. So when we come back, we'll get right back into the Batman stuff. We're going to play the song, the video for you right now, and I'll also drop the link in the chat so you can watch it as it's playing. You listen to Dose of Reality Radio with Brian Stavely and Justin Cook, and we'll be back in 4 minutes. Wow.